you're holding a baby, you can just put your hand over your heart. In Jonah, the third chapter, the word of the Most Holy God says this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up and go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I shall tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God, and they proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. And when Jesus reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne and removed his robe and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh, "By decree of the kingdom of this king and his nobles, no human being or animal nor herd nor flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God, and all shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. In ancient times, there was a spit of land called the Fertile Crescent. And it was an exceedingly good land. And since it was, two things happened there all the time. One was that there was all kinds of commerce. There was all this travel to and from because this beautiful land was the meeting place of north and south. It was the meeting place of east and west. It was where everybody traveled to. So there was great diversity. However, as we know, when somebody's got something good, there's always somebody else wanting to take it. So this was also a land of much violence and warfare. And there was a great, great deal of that. All you have to do is read through the Old Testament. It's one war after another. Haven't learned a lot, have we? One war after another. Because the people could not live in peace with each other. And the great city of Nineveh, the closest thing I could come to in way I understand it is the same way I think of the great city of New York. New York is a business finance center, not just of America, but it's one of the great leaders in the world. You can go in virtually any country in this world and ask them to name a city in America, and I promise you the first one they're going to come up with is New York. It is so full of so much good. It really is. It is a center of culture. Where are all the great plays? Broadway. Where do we look for fashion? Where do they hold Fashion Week? New York. Where do we have all the great banks? Where do they have their center? New York. And up until 9/11, so much world trade was happening in just two buildings. Center, not just of America, but of the world. And that is what Nineveh was like. But there's another side to big cities. There's the side that we usually see on the news. There's violence and evil. There's corruption on a huge scale. If you say, you know, mob cities, I don't know, Chicago might be the first one to come to mind, but then you're going to think of New York. And there is so, so much. She's going to be a preacher. Yes. There's going to be so, so many things that go on in New York. Haven't we seen it lately? The hatred. You know, Dr. King spoke about not just overcoming, but that one day it wasn't going to matter. But folks, it still matters, doesn't it? It shouldn't, but it does. It still matters. I have never understood it. I never will understand it. It makes positively no sense. But because somebody follows this custom, eats that food, skin is a different color, we feel like we've got to be against it. And this is so true in the great cities of the world. Because where are you going to find the worst poverty, the greatest amount of homelessness, where people find out that they're just really happy if they've got a cardboard box? It is so full of good. And so full of evil. And the evil was so predominant in Nineveh that God had it up to here. Okay, that is Susan's translation. But God had it up to here. And he sent Jonah to Nineveh. And we all know the story about how Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. God said he was going to go destroy him, and Jonah said, good. I'm all about that. I'm not going to go deliver God's message to Nineveh because they might repent. So we know the story how God put him in timeout. And then had a little talk. And if you've ever been regurgitated by a big fish, you've decided nothing worse can happen and you'll just go do what you're told. So he goes to Nineveh. And it said that it was 3 days to walk across Nineveh, but he only had gone in 1 day's worth, and it just spread like wildfire. God said that he was going to destroy Nineveh. It was going to be overturned. Some translations say overthrown, but what it literally means is it's going to be overturned. It's going to be topsy-turvy. It's going to be upside down. It is going to change in a big way. And it was not like anything they hadn't seen before. Somebody was coming, and they were going to be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh, amazingly enough, believed. You know, you see every once in a while these people with the cardboard in front of them, you know, walking around, repent, repent, the end is near. What happens to those people? What do the other, how do the other people react to them? They laugh at them, they ridicule them, they mock them. Even Christians look at that and go, oh, please. And actually, that's what should have happened in Nineveh. That really should have happened. But the Holy Spirit had already plowed the road, and people literally said, okay, if this is happening, then we need to change something. And immediately, the people, and it just spread, said, we're going to fast. Now, fasting, folks, is self-denial. It is focusing on something other than your pleasure and comfort. You know, I challenge you to try this just one day. Just one day, every 30 minutes. Try it every 30 minutes. If you can't do that, try it once an hour. And just look and say, you know, how many times have I thought about what I want? What I can do for my comfort? What I need in quotes. How many times do we think about us? Most of the time. I think you'll find out that you think about yourself more than you think about anything else. It's the truth. We think about ourselves more than we think about anything else. And when you fast, you give that up. You deny yourself and you begin to think of something besides your own pleasure and comfort. And with that fasting, they did sackcloth and ashes. Now, of course, you know, today we do not do sackcloth and ashes. We don't put on burlap and pour dirt on our heads. But where is a real sense of mourning? Have you cried recently over the state that this world is in? You know, sometimes I read the newspaper and I wonder, why aren't all of us weeping? We might shake our heads, but usually it doesn't even stay with us that long. Gee, that was awful. How could somebody do that? Wonder what I'm going to have for dinner. But the people of Nineveh actually mourned. They had genuine sorrow for the things that were happening around them. The things that they had done, and folks, the things that they hadn't done anything about. The things they hadn't done anything about. All of us in this room want peace. We want people to live in peace with each other. Am I right? Anybody? If you don't really like this, then you ought to be brave enough to put your hand up. Who does not want peace among people? You won't raise your hand because you're afraid somebody gets you. No, I'm kidding. All those peace lovers might get you. No, but seriously, we all want that. We all want the drug problem in America to go away, don't we? Don't we want that? Don't we want gangs to cease? Do we not want gang violence to be gone? Do we not want poverty to be over with? Don't we want everybody to have enough to eat? Don't we want everybody to have a good education? Don't we want everybody to live to their full potential? Yeah, we want it, but how bad do we want it? Because, folks, most of us don't do a thing to make it better. Somebody ought to do something. Nineveh mourned, not just for what they had done, but for what they had not done. And it said they called urgently upon God. You know, when things get bad, it's amazing how much we know how to pray. We know about that when it gets rough. Oh, yeah. Not just getting in touch with God. Not that little nod over lunch, or not that little, dear Lord, I'd like to thank you for. but real, genuine conversation. Deep conversation. Life-changing conversation with God. Crying out. And then another part of repentance is they gave up their evil ways. Folks, they knew what they were doing was wrong. They knew it. They just didn't want to give it up. We live in a world that we can justify anything. I used to work in the prison system. When I was in Kentucky, I had a prison ministry for 3 years. And there was not a single man in that prison who didn't have a really good, justifiable reason for whatever it was they did to get there. That didn't make them any different from us. I know I should keep a rein on my mouth, but I don't want to. I know I shouldn't tell that kind of joke, but I want to tell it. Because after all, that titter of laughter is way more important than pleasing God. I know that I shouldn't wear this. I know I shouldn't do that. I know I shouldn't go to that place, but I want to. And after all, since I am, of course, the measure of all things, I should get to do what I want to do. It's not hurting anybody. That is the biggest lie the devil ever told. I'm not hurting anybody but myself is the biggest lie that has ever been told on this planet. Because, folks, it hurts. Even if you are not specifically hurting another human being, you are hurting your very soul. And I've got news for you. Both good and evil are cumulative. The more evil we bring into this world, the more we got to deal with it, because it ain't going away till Jesus comes. And let me just say something that's not going to be popular. It is time the Church of Jesus Christ stood up and told people to stop living together. Because it wasn't meant to be that way. They hurt their souls. They hurt their souls. And many, 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 many people in this room were not virgins when they got married. Because it's so prevalent and we think it's okay. And I'm going to tell you something that I'm ashamed of. I wasn't when I got married. Gary and I were engaged for 2 years. We wanted to be married and we weren't, and we didn't wait. And folks, we should have. I know what I'm talking about when I say you can justify anything. And just because everybody's doing it, we think it's okay, but it's not. Because I have seen so many people devastated. So many people harmed. You know why God wants us to do certain things in a certain way? It's not because he doesn't want us to enjoy ourselves. Hey, folks, he wants us to be truly happy. And he wants us to be safe. He doesn't want us to settle for good when we can have best. They knew they were doing wrong. But it wasn't hurting anybody. And then the worst of all is the violence That is the hurting and destruction. I don't know what it is now. Years and years and years ago, they were talking about how by the time a child reaches 18, they had seen, you know, several hundred thousand acts of violence. They probably see that in 1 year now. Think of the video games. Think of that. Think of, you know, there's no one in this room who loves football more than me. But it's actually a pretty violent game. There is, those of you that watch the men drive in the circle, you know, some people watch that because they want to see a wreck. I'm serious. You watch that because you want to see a wreck, get help. There's something bad wrong with you. We're so used to violence, it doesn't shock us anymore. We've just accepted it. It's the way things are. Folks, the people of Nineveh repented. The way to change the world begins with repentance. That's where it starts. Repenting. Say, you know, how many times have you heard a sermon on repentance? I've been here the last 9 years. How many times have I told you all to repent? Well, some of you I tell individually quite often, but you know, how many times have I actually preached repentance? Not all that much. I apologize to you for that. Because, you know, everybody in this room probably needs to repent something. Do you not? Isn't there something in your life that you really think you need to change? Something that you are doing that you should stop, or something that you're not doing that you should. Repent. Repent. Because, folks, at some point, God's going to have it up to here. And the city of Nineveh was indeed overturned. But they were overturned to good. They had their choice. They could turn over and change what they were doing, or they could be destroyed. And no, I'm not even going with the hellfire and brimstone. I'm talking about the hell this earth is before the one that's to come. You know, we got to baptize one of the prettiest little things I've ever seen today. And we have all these babies. Right back there. See, Donna is holding Jeff. Because that, hold that baby up. Is that not Jeff? He looks just like him. And we have these beautiful children. Do we not want to change the world that they're going to be living in? Do you not want it to be better than it is now? Repent. Repent. And God's compassion will prevail. You know, Jonah got really ticked off that God didn't destroy Nineveh. He went in there and said, God's going to destroy you, and then he didn't. And he had one of the biggest, It is, go, if you want to read a pity party, read chapter 4. Because Jonah's just sitting there, all mad at God, because Nineveh's still standing. And he said, that's why I didn't want to come here in the first place. I was afraid they'd repent, and you wouldn't do it. That's my translation, but that's what he said. And he said, I knew you wouldn't do it. And God answers and says, the hundreds of thousands of people in Nineveh who don't know their right hand from their left, should I not have compassion? You know, God wants us to have everything. He's standing on the edge of heaven just waiting to pour it out. And we'd rather have what we got. So I am calling you today. I'm calling you today as a prophet. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let's make this world all God intended when he created it, not what the devil intended when he corrupted it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.